Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying which is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and they shall reign with him for 1,000 years. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship. Him declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they may feel after him and find him. Though he be not far from every one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold, or silver, or stone, graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he shall judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Ladies and gentlemen, can I tell you again, we serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living. Whatever men may say, I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me a long life's way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. And he's been living there for 75 years now. And he's never forsaken me. He promised he would never leave me. I'm not preaching yet, folks. I'm just talking. He promised he would never leave me nor forsake me. And he's alive and he's with us today. All over the Christian world, men are gathered today to commemorate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. What a wonderful Savior to me. I'm glad you're here today. Wasn't that a number? I'm telling you, if I wasn't afraid I'd lose my dignity, I would have shouted on that number. I'm telling you, it was hard to sit still with that going on. One day we'll have a long time to shout. It won't make a difference who knows it or who doesn't know it. Who looks at us or who doesn't look at us. We'll shout forever the praises of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I've used enough runway. Let's open the... By the way, did I tell you When we open the Bible opens the mind of God. Let's see what God's thinking about today. In the Gospel according to John, chapter number 20, I'm going to read the first 9 verses of John's Gospel, chapter 20. As you're finding your place, I should remind you again, as sure as night follows day, and day follows night, God still lives, and the Bible is right. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. All flesh is as grass, all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And I'm glad it's settled right here on this earth in this wonderful book we call the Bible. Inspired, infallible, inerrant, impeccable, indestructible, powerful and precious and perfect and pure and pontifical and preserved for us in our own language in the King James Version. I'll read from this wonderful book, John chapter 20 at verse 1, after we pray. Father, we thank Thee today for the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We know that He defeated death. He took the sting out of it. We have nothing to fear. He's reigning supremely, and we love Him today. I pray for this congregation, for every individual person. May we for a little while forget our watches and our clocks and our Easter dinner and our Easter bonnets, and may we concentrate on Jesus. I pray if there be those without the Savior, that they would come to know Him. Is our prayer in His name, and with thanksgiving we pray. Amen. John chapter 20 at verse number 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid Him. Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet when he went not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not, they didn't comprehend yet until this moment, the Scripture that He must rise again from the dead. Some years ago, a man wrote the editor of a leading religious magazine this note, Dear Editor, on Easter Sunday, our pastor said that Jesus didn't really die on the cross. He just swooned. And His disciples nursed Him back to health. What do you think? The editor wrote back, Dear sir, beat your pastor with a cat of nine tails with 39 heavy strokes. Nail him to a cross. Hang him in the sun for 6 hours. Run a spear through his heart. embalm him, put him in an airtight tomb for 3 days and three nights, and see what happens. Wow. See what happens. Jesus died, ladies and gentlemen, and Jesus was buried, and Jesus rose again. God have mercy on any preacher who would deny the infallibility of the Word of God. In my opinion, he ought to get saved or quit masquerading as a servant of God and a preacher of the gospel. Hear me when I say it, ladies and gentlemen. No event in the history of mankind has any more undeniable, infallible, positive proofs than the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know what the court looks at when they have a trial? They don't look at circumstantial evidence. They look at eyewitnesses. Eyewitnesses, Mary, Peter, James, John, the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, the 12. And then listen to what Paul says. Now this is the clincher. He was seen above five men at once. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. There is not a court in this land that would not accept the testimony of 500 people who said they saw the same person at the same time under the same circumstances. The hinge, my friend, which the door of Christianity is open to the world is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The hallmark of the Christian faith is an empty tomb. People visit a tomb in the city of Moscow because a body is there. They visit a tomb in the city of Jerusalem because a body is not there. Thank God beyond the cross, there's an empty tomb. And the resurrection is the cornerstone upon which the superstructure of Christianity rests. In our world today, there are 11 major religions. Only one can boast of a living founder, and that one is Christianity. Mohammed is dead. Confucius is dead. Zoroaster is dead. Buddha is dead. All the leaders, all the founders, so-called, of the religions are dead. But Jesus is alive, and he reigns supremely in heaven as Lord of heaven and earth. Now that's my introduction, and I'm ready to start preaching. And I know what time it is. I've entitled this message, What Did Jesus Accomplish by the Resurrection? I'm going to give you five things. Number one, by his resurrection, Jesus confirmed the faith of his disciples. In John chapter 2, there's a fascinating story of how our Lord Jesus went into the temple at Jerusalem. He saw the money changers, he saw the tables, he saw the oxen, the sheep, the goats, everything that they were selling and buying and swapping and trading. And guess what he did? The Bible says he made him a little scourge and literally drove those men out of the temple and overturned their money changing, their tables, and overthrew the money. And all of a sudden, in verse 18 of John 2, the Jews said, in essence, "Now show us a sign, Jesus. You've done all this to us. Now show us a sign by which you do this." And he gave them a sign. It begins in verse 19. And here it is. Don't miss a word of it. Jesus said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? Watch this now. But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them. Now watch it. And they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had said. And my friend, there's no appeal beyond what Jesus says. He's the highest authority the world has ever known. Some years ago, two brilliant young men, very fast friends in England, by the names of Lillington and West, decided that they could destroy Christianity if they could disprove two things. One, the conversion of the Apostle Paul. And number two, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Littleton said to his friend West, "I'll spend a year investigating the conversion of Paul." West said in return, "I'll spend a year investigating the resurrection of Jesus." At the end of the year, they met together to report on their findings. Littleton said to his friend West, "After a year of investigation, I am convinced that the Bible story of Paul's conversion is true. And not only that, I've been converted myself." Hallelujah. West retorted, "After a year of investigating the resurrection of Jesus, I'm convinced it is an undeniable fact, and it might surprise you to know, I have received him as my Savior, and I too am saved." Hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the power of the gospel. Little wonder Paul wrote in Romans 1:16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is powerful enough to blow the hinges off the gates of hell. Thank God he's alive. The second thing, by his resurrection, our Lord Jesus completed the meaning of the gospel. Let it be known to all persons present and to all men everywhere that without the resurrection, there is no gospel. No gospel, no salvation. No salvation, no hope. No hope, no heaven. No heaven, there's but one alternative, and that's hell. And ladies and gentlemen, on this Easter Sunday, I want to tell you that hell is hell and hell is real, and every man that rejects the Lord Jesus Christ will spend eternity in hell. Wow. Listen to the definition that Paul gave of the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15. I must hurry on. "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Paul said he died according to the Scriptures. What Scripture? Isaiah 53. "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth." Paul said he rose the third day according to the Scripture. What Scripture? Psalm 16:10, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, nor see thy allow thy Holy One to suffer corruption." On the day that our Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, people went all over the city of Jerusalem whispering, "He is dead. He is dead. He is dead." 3 days later, they went all over Jerusalem shouting, "He's alive! He's alive! He's alive!" And ladies and gentlemen, I want to shout it today. Jesus Christ is alive. What a wonderful Savior. I read the story about a man looking in a large window at a painting of Jesus Christ hanging on the cross. Gathered all around were the Roman soldiers, and out there a little distance were his disciples. A little boy came up to him and said, "Mister, them soldiers killed Jesus." The man said nothing. The little boy said, Mister, them disciples buried Jesus." The man turned and walked away. About a block away, the little boy ran, grabbed him by his coattail and said, "Hey, mister, I forgot to tell you, he rose again." Well, I will not forget to tell you today, on this first day of April 2018, I'm not going to forget to tell you, he rose again. Listen to his testimony, the words of Jesus himself in John 10. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life to take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. And thank God, he took it again. Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus my Lord. Death could not keep his prey, Jesus my Savior. He tore the bars away, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor of the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose. He arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose. What do you suppose was happening in hell about this time? I think all the imps had hid their faces, and the devil was having a nervous breakdown. I see in the third place, by his resurrection, Jesus canceled our sin debt and made it possible for us to be saved. That's what it's all about, ladies and gentlemen. That's why we're gathered here today, to tell you, through his death, burial, and resurrection, he can save you. In fact, the Bible says he can save to the uttermost all that come to God by him. You haven't sinned too much. You haven't gone too far. You cannot run out of the reaches of God's marvelous grace. Whatever your sin, whatever your burden, whatever your problem. Romans chapter 10, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The key word, my friend, in salvation, this whole formula, is the word believe. He that believeth is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. Did you know that the word believe appears in the New Testament 485 times? Now don't miss this. The word feeling appears 5 times. So don't trust your feeling. Don't trust your feeling, because feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. My only warrant is God's word. Naught else is worth believing. When the Philippian jailer asked Paul, what must I do to be saved? Paul said, now, Mr. Jailer, when that smooth, fuzzy feeling comes over you, you'll know. No. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. There's not but one way, and that's Jesus' way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. I look again to see by his resurrection, Jesus conquered death for every believer, and he assured us of our own resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, great resurrection chapter. Paul says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ Jesus, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Jesus put it this way, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. He took it a step further than that. On a personal round, he said in John 14, 19, 7 most comforting words almost that Jesus ever spoke. You probably know them. Because I live, he shall live also. Because I live, Jesus said, you're going to live also. because he lives, ladies and gentlemen, we're steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Because he lives, we can do all things through him who strengthens us. Because he lives, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Paul poses the question in Romans 8, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or nakedness or famine or peril or sword? Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved. Wait a minute, time out. More than conquerors? That's what he said. More than conquerors. More than Tiglath-Pileser? Yes, more than Tiglath-Pileser. More than Shalmaneser? Yes, more than Shalmaneser. More than Sennacherib? Yes, more than Sennacherib. More than Sargon? Yes, more than Sargon. More than Nebuchadnezzar? Yes, more than Nebuchadnezzar. More than Alexander the Great? Yes, more than Alexander the Great. More than the Caesars of Rome? Yes, more than the Caesars of Rome. Julius and Augustus, Tiberius, Claudius, Trajan, Nero, and all the rest. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I see one more thing now. By his resurrection, Jesus clinched the truth of our reunion with our loved ones who've gone before. We have followed many of you, and so has the pastor, and so has Brother Weaver. We've followed many of you to yonder the grave, to the yonder's grave. We've laid to rest your dear loved ones. I'm remembering now what happened at the church at Thessalonica, the first church that Paul established. He couldn't get over to see them. By the way, the pastor can't always get over to see you. Be satisfied with one of these guys. I know it's hard to do, but just do the best you can. Paul couldn't get over there, but so he sent Timothy to see how they were getting along. So Timothy comes back, and I'm paraphrasing this whole thing. Timothy comes back and says, well, Paul, they're doing quite well. Offerings are good, attendance is good, having people saved, but there's one thing that's really bothering them. They are wondering about their loved ones who died. They want to know, Paul, will they ever see their loved ones again? Well, the Holy Spirit said, Paul, write them a letter. So Paul wrote them a letter, 1 Thessalonians. And in the fourth chapter, he said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them that are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them that are asleep. For the Lord himself, did you get that? The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then, oh, I love that, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together, there's the reunion, caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Somebody said, well, where's heaven? I don't know, but if Jesus is there, it's good enough for me. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Together, together, together we'll be caught up. The raised dead, the translated living. What a reunion that's going to be. There's going to be a meeting in the air in the sweet by and by, and God's own Son will be the leading one at that meeting in the sky. That's going to be a wonderful time. Now I want to ask you a question. Please listen. Are you ready for that hour? Let's just suppose that Jesus comes today, April the 1st. Wouldn't it be a good day for him to come? wow, we'd see a lot of dead raised up, see a lot of saints translated. Some of these guys may be left. No, they'll be going. They're all right. They'll be going. We'll see all of that, and together we'll go up. Together, together. I want to ask you, are you ready for that hour? If Jesus were to come today, would you be ready for his coming? Are you looking for his return, longing for it, as Paul tells us we need to be? Or on the other hand, listen, what if death overtakes you today? Or you say, but I'm healthy, I just got back from the doctor. Well, I buried a lot of people that just got back from the doctor. So don't boast on your health. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Do you know that you know that you know that if you died today, you'd go to heaven? That's my question to you. Isn't that simple? You, by the way, you're the only one who can answer that. I can't answer that. Pastor can't answer that. Dr. Johnson can't. Dr. Rigsby can't. Dr. Weaver can't. Dr. Sides can't. I've doctored all these men now. They can't answer that question. Only you can answer that question. Are you ready? If death comes knocking at your door, remember it's appointed unto men once to die. But after this, the judgment. Let's stand, please, for our prayer. Everyone standing. Heads are bowed. The altar's open, folks. Altar's open. Invitation's already begun. If God is speaking to your heart, you don't have to wait till we sing or make some kind of proposition for you to do this, that, or the other. If God has spoken to your heart, just step out of your seat. Come on down to the front. There'll be somebody to show you the way. If you're here today without Christ, now listen. If you die without Christ, you will spend eternity in hell. Don't let that happen to you. Jesus loves you. He died for you. He was buried for you. He rose again for you. With every head bowed, I'm going to ask two questions. Number one, how many of you would say, not because I'm perfect by any means, preacher, not because of any goodness of mine, but because I know that I trusted Christ as my Savior, if I were to die today, I know I'd go to heaven. Would you put your hand up real high if you have that assurance? Put it up real high. Don't be ashamed. All over, everywhere. Thank you. You may put them down. Hundreds and hundreds. But some of you could not lift your hand. What are you going to do about it? Time is passing away. The hour is coming when the undertaker will back up to your house, take your body out, or to your hospital and take your body out. And then it's too late, too late, too late, too late, too late. Today is the day of salvation. I wonder among those who could not lift your hand, here comes my other question. I wonder, those of you who could not lift your hand, if you might say, I'm asking you, would you put your hand up and say, preacher, I don't have that assurance. I don't really know that if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Would you put your hand up and let us pray for you? We're not going to put you on the spot. Nobody's going to drag you down the aisle. Nobody's going to force you. God bless you. Nobody's going to force you to, God bless you, sir. Not, you may put your hand back down. Thank you. Nobody's going to force you to do anything. We're inviting you to come to Christ. Father, I pray for these who lifted their hands, said they weren't saved. Many of them did not lift the hand to say they were saved, and they didn't lift it to say they wanted to be. Put something in their heart would cause them to want to be saved today, this hour, this moment. In Jesus' name I pray.